Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational digital magazine for women since 2006. I'm also the best-selling publisher behind the boutique publishing house for women, Inspired Living Publishing. And I have to tell you, it gives me soul giggles to birth the books of visionary female leaders, coaches, and healers who are passionate about sharing their message and wisdom in transforming women's lives. We recently released Dr. Deborah Riebel's Soul-Hearted Living, a year of sacred reflections and affirmations for women, which quickly became an international bestseller in midlife and self-esteem. And we just heard the exciting news. It was just featured on most wished-for books, as well as recommended gifts on Amazon. Watch for our new book, Broken Open, Embracing Heartache and Betrayal as Gateways to Unconditional Love by certified spiritual and life coach Mal Duane. Register for VIP notice at brokenopen-book.com. You know, as you may have noticed, all of my multimedia brands are dedicated to inspiring women to live their best lives. And today's show brings you the wisdom and expertise to support you in doing just that. Have you ever wondered if it's possible to truly prosper without losing your soul? Today, esteemed yoga teacher Ellen Grace O'Brien joins me for a conversation on an overlooked aspect of yoga, its powerful teaching on prosperity and true wealth. Drawing upon ancient teachings of yoga philosophy, Ellen will present profound yogic principles in an extremely accessible way to explain how spirituality and earthly success can complement each other, leading to realization of the higher self in the abundant life of fulfillment and gratitude that naturally follows. Ellen is the author of The Jewel of Abundance and director of the Center for Spiritual Enlightenment in San Jose, California. She is a yogacharya, an esteemed yoga teacher, radio host, and an award-winning poet who weaves poetry into her teachings on spiritual matters, pointing to the mystical experience beyond words and thought. Ordained by a direct disciple of Paramahansa Yogananda, she has been teaching Kriya Yoga philosophy and practices naturally, and internationally for over three decades. Welcome, Ellen.
Thank you so much, Linda. It's a joy to be with you today.
Well, when I first heard of your book, The Jewel of Abundance, I was really attracted to it, was happy to share it with Aspire Mag's top 10 inspiring books list. And I love the overall message, right, that about prosperity. And it's so much more than, I don't know, what we've come to believe it is mainstream when we hear that word. So first off, in The Jewel of Abundance, you share about four universal goals of life. Can you tell us more about those?
Oh, I would love to tell you about those. And first, thanks for including Jewel of Abundance on your list of books. That is really an honor. So getting to those universal goals, in the Vedas, it's interesting. We have these goals that are universal, meaning they're for anyone, regardless of your background or your spiritual path or your religion or your ethnicity. They're universal. They're for everyone about how to live a happy, healthy, spiritually conscious life. And these four aims of life are called the Purushartas, which is a Sanskrit word that means, if you translate it literally, it means for the sake of the soul, which I just love. Just start there.
That's beautiful.
You know, that our goals in life are really to serve the soul, you know, what we're here for, to express our innate divine nature in the most powerful, fulfilling way. So I'll just briefly tell you what those four goals are, and then, you know, as you like, we can talk about any of them more deeply. But the first is to live with higher purpose. And that is called Dharma, and it is to learn about what we are as spiritual beings, and then to express our potential and to contribute to life in the highest way. And the second goal, which is the subject of my book, is actually wealth, which is so interesting, you know, as a spiritual goal in life. But as we study it, we come to understand why it's there, because as we're here to fulfill our potential, we really need to learn, you know, how to be in the world effectively, skillfully, how to attract the resources that we need to do what we're here to do. And so wealth is really an important part of that. And, of course, wealth is not just money as we typically think of it, but wealth is all the ways in which our life is enhanced, you know, our health, our relationships, and so forth. So we learn how to be wealthy in many ways. The third goal is pleasure, enjoying life. So we're here to fulfill our purpose, to learn how to attract resources to do that, but it's really important to enjoy life along the way. And the last goal is to experience freedom in this lifetime, you know, to not be caught up and bound by outer things, but to experience liberation of consciousness, or what the sages call enlightenment. So purpose, prosperity, pleasure, and freedom. Those are the four goals that we find in the Vedas.
It's beautiful. And just hearing the descriptions, they just resonate on a soul level. Like it's like you recognize truth. That's how I feel things in my body anyway. One of the primary focuses of your book was on the second universal goal of life, or artha, right, which is to prosper in every way. So can we talk more about that one? Because I think a lot of us, especially on the spiritual path, I've been on this path for 27 years, so I've struggled with this one myself, so I can't wait to dive into this, about what prosperity means and how to balance that it's okay to be prosperous and spiritual.
Yeah, that's why I loved writing this book, because, you know, everybody that I have met that enters into a spiritual path has that question. In other words, you know, how do I fit in, you know, my work and my need to pay the bills and send the kids to college, and you know, how does that tie into my spiritual life? And interestingly enough, the way that we find it in these teachings, it tells us it's not only important to your spiritual life, but it's actually essential, because, you know, every one of us is inclined to thrive and to prosper and to fulfill our potential. So the way in which we do that, you know, is critically important. You know, so getting involved in our life in the world, expressing fully, is the way that we learn and we grow and we develop our potential. You know, some of the old ideas that we have about, you know, prospering, and particularly about money or desire, is that it can derail us, you know, from the spiritual path. And, you know, that can be true. And so, you know, people ask, you know, well, does wealth or prosperity enhance our spiritual life, or, you know, does it detract from it? And the answer to that is it depends. And, of course, it depends on how we understand wealth and desire, what way we pursue it, how we use it. But just to understand that it depends is really important, because it's not in and of itself a problem. And, in fact, it is part of our path of our full becoming. So we need to learn about it.
Well, it's so important, because we can't fulfill our mission. I call what I do, it's my soul's mission. It doesn't feel like work to me. And it took me a long time to associate my struggle with prosperity and the scripts that I had, that how dare you, you know, mm-hmm. enter this. But the way you just describe it, it's our right and our I don't know if I'm wording right. To be prosperous so we can fulfill the mission.
You said it exactly right. You know,
well, that was the disconnect for me, right? But just hearing those words from you is like, okay, I get where my struggle was. I thought they were separate, but in reality, I had to heal that so I could fulfill what I've been blessed to do for now for the last 13 years.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, when I think about the power of that message and the power of that message rippling out into our universe, you know, to heal that split, because it's kind of like, you know, the split, you know, between heaven and earth, right? You know, between, quote unquote, our spiritual life and our material life. But really, there is no split, you know, to see all of our life as sacred and to understand our work as our mission, you know, whatever work we do, whatever our service is in the world, whatever our offering is, you know, to see that as an important expression of our spirituality, that is so healing, and it offers so much potential, you know, for healing in our world, to not just have our spirituality, you know, separated off into a one day a week thing that we observe, or even our morning meditation ritual, but to understand that it is our whole life. And if I can just say one more thing, you know, that we can observe is that we are naturally inclined to prosper. It's the very impetus of nature, of consciousness, of life itself. So, you know, if you just you look at nature and you see, you know, everything moving towards the fulfillment of its purpose, you know, an apple tree is going to blossom and bear sweet fruit, and you know, and for us as human beings, you know, we're here to fulfill our potential and to express those divine qualities within us. And so, you know, that's the way that we thrive and prosper. So we want to arrange conditions so that we're able to do that in the best way possible.
So beautifully said. And we're going to take our first break. And when we come back, the subtitle of your book, right? Which, the title of the book drew me right in. And then as I read the subtitle, Finding Prosperity Through the Ancient Wisdom of Yoga, I was like, ooh, I want to hear more about how these two merge, right? And so when we come back from our break, let's talk about that, Ellen.
That'd be great.
We'll be back in a moment. I'm with Ellen Grace O'Brien. You can learn more at her website, ellengraceobrien.com. We'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Do you feel overwhelmed and unsure about what steps to take to find peace, joy, and purpose in your life? Chris Groth is a spiritual mentor, energy healer, and best-selling author of the novel Soliloquy, a novel of healing, soul connection, and passion, and co-author of several best-selling books. Chris is passionate about helping women connect more deeply to their own truth, to promote healing, and restore balance to the body, heart, mind, and soul, so they can live a soul-connected life. Chris serves clients around the world through spiritual mentoring sessions, energy healings, and powerful custom-guided sound healing meditations that bring in the energy of crystal singing bowls. If you're ready to heal your heart, nurture your soul, and illuminate your path, schedule a complimentary virtual session with Chris today at chrisgroth.com. That's Chris with a K and GROTH.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is Conscious Living for Your Soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Ellen Grace O'Brien, the author of The Jewel of Abundance, Finding Prosperity Through the Ancient Wisdom of Yoga. So how did you find the connection between yoga and prosperity? Was it through your teachings and your own spiritual path? What led you to combining or bringing to our attention this combination?
I did discover it along the way with my study of these ancient texts, but principally, you know, I began to learn about this through my teacher, Roy Eugene Davis, who's an American yogi. He's been teaching for more than 60 years, and he's a direct disciple of Paramahansa Yogananda, who brought Kriya Yoga to the West in 1920, and many people are familiar with Yogananda because he wrote this book, The Autobiography of a Yogi, which has become, you know, a million seller, a spiritual classic, where he introduced people to the philosophy of yoga. You know, so many people even today think of yoga simply as physical exercise, but it's a whole system of Indian philosophy. So when I met my teacher, one of the questions that he asked, which, you know, just began to open my mind, was he said, what would you do if you knew that you had all the resources that you need to accomplish your worthy goal or to fulfill your dream or your purpose? What would you do if you knew that? What would you do if you knew that you could not possibly fail? And, you know, I didn't have something in particular in mind when he asked that question, but what happened when he asked the question of what would you do if you knew you had the resources that you would need to do it, is that I became aware that I had already placed limits on what I could possibly do with my life, and that I didn't need to be thinking that way. You know, that I could begin to open my heart and my mind to greater possibility. And, you know, he taught, as his teacher taught, about this connection between the impetus of life itself to bring all things, including us as human beings, to fulfillment of their purpose. And so understanding that life itself wants to prosper us, and we don't need to put self-imposed limitations on that. So that really was how I began, you know, to look into this and to explore the connection between my mind, you know, and my thoughts and my experience of life and how open I could be to greater potentials or how I could close that down as well.
So it's so powerful. So if I understand what he said is we're never in lack. It's our thoughts that create lack.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you've just touched on really that is the crux of the teaching in the book. You know, one of the most powerful things that we can do to bring more abundance into our life in all areas, and I don't mean just financial abundance, but to bring more abundance into our life, we need to learn how to change our minds from lack to abundance, you know, from restricted thinking to possibility thinking.
And I've lived this firsthand. I've shared my story many times. I was a former welfare mom, runaway queen of self-sabotage. So that's, I grew up with that script. And I had to rewrite my script, right, to become an abundant, successful businesswoman, life partner for my family. It was rewriting and changing the thought patterns. And I did struggle about 20 years ago when I was a massage therapist about, who am I to take money for these gifts and energy work I used to do. I struggled with that belief system that I shouldn't take money for spiritual gifts. And I'm sure you hear that one a lot. So it's just this whole conversation resonates with me because nothing changed in my life except my view of my thoughts about the topic of what I was worth, that I was worthy of abundance and prosperity.
Oh, that's so powerful. And yes, you know, that is my story as well, which is a part of our journey. You know, I think we all have to see these ways in which we are holding ourselves back. And when we look at the teachings of yoga, you know, what we find there is that the teaching that life itself, you know, is abundant, and there is no holding back from the source. and so it's a matter of us being able to become more receptive to all that life would really support us in bringing forth.
It's so beautiful. And do you notice as you're teaching this that this has been an issue for spiritual healers and leaders, and you know, even some that have been there for a long time, that this struggle between the worlds, between the earthly and the spiritual?
Oh, absolutely. And it was one of the things that inspired me to write the book, you know, to share about my own journey of, you know, becoming willing to prosper, which is a critical factor for us all. But also seeing in so many people that I have taught and worked with over the years, and people that I've met, and spiritual leaders that I have talked to, there is this juncture at which, you know, we need to heal that split, you know, the idea that there is some, you know, spiritual life and then there's the material life. They're not separate. And, you know, there's ways in which we heal that split, ways in which we bring it together, you know, first by understanding, you know, this one reality that's expressing as it all, yes, as it is. That's very helpful. But also, and especially for, as you're describing, Linda, people who are doing their soul work, you know, and they're contributing to life, that's a critical piece, you know, to understand that whatever we're offering, you know, whether it's parenting or running a nonprofit or putting out an inspiring magazine, we want to understand that we are connecting to higher purpose, and that's that first goal. It's not just to live with purpose, because you could have any purpose, but it's to live with higher purpose, which means to somehow be contributing to the greater good, you know, to the well-being of
yeah.
all.
I'll tell you, that really speaks to my soul, because when I was given a vision for Aspire, I was like, I don't have any publishing experience, I don't have any marketing, I don't have any graphic design, but there was something in me that said, I want to publish a magazine that speaks to women and encourages them to live from the inside out. I believe that I was given that seed because I was yearning to live from the inside out. So Aspire was never born from a business decision, as you were talking about. It was born from this deep desire to create something of service. And 13 years later, she's still here. She's still free. I still give her away. It's my soul's project to the world. And it was birthed through what you just beautifully explained, this higher purpose. It gave me purpose. And then the rest unfolded, the book publishing company and the radio show and all my other brands. But my commitment has always been to the purpose and to the mission. I think it helps us when we have that higher vision, higher purpose like you do. I think it helps us through the hard times, because if this was just a business to me, I would have given up a long time ago, right? In the tough days. But my mission is bigger than me. Is that what you were speaking of so eloquently earlier?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, people get confused today about, you know, the word dharma is becoming more used, you know, in the English language, like the word yoga, but people don't fully understand dharma. So they think of dharma, you know, they say, oh, I do this, it's my dharma to do it, you know, which refers perhaps to duty or responsibility, but people connect that to a vocation, you know, like to something that you do. But as you're sharing, Linda, with your own journey, and it's certainly been mine too, that this higher purpose, this dharma, is not so much what we do. It's the soul's calling from within to express what we're here to express. And however we do that, whatever vocation comes out of it is an expression of that. It's not the thing itself. You know, our dharma is our life of higher purpose. It's the direction we're pointed in. It's the way our own soul gifts are unfolding.
You have a way of putting things into words. I'm like, yes, that's exactly how it felt, because it was birthed through me. I was fearful. I just knew that it was what I was meant to do. And I've often said, when people say, oh, you're the one that birthed Aspire magazine, I said, no, she actually, I call her she, by the way, she has her own energy. And I said, no, she actually gave birth to me, because on that path of following that soul's seed that was planted to create her, I had to heal a lot within me over the last 13 years. So really, she gave birth to me, to the woman I am today, because she helped me heal and face things. And become spiritually stronger.
Absolutely. And that is really a critical point that I'm making in this book. That's why stepping out of our comfort zone and becoming willing to prosper and to thrive in every way is so critical to our spiritual development. Because, you know, just as you describe it, we have to grow. When we put ourselves out there to follow our dreams, to contribute in a greater way to life, you know, to say yes to that calling, which, you know, might just scare us, probably does if it's big enough, you know? But it becomes a spiritual path of development for us. It's where we learn about ourselves. It's where we discover ideas that we were holding that are no longer useful to us. And, you know, I discovered if I hadn't stepped out, if I hadn't, you know, become willing to do the work that I was doing, I wouldn't actually know that I had those restrictive thoughts. You don't discover them until you get out into the light, and then they're revealed.
Oh, yeah. That resonates with me. And we come back from our next break, Ellen. Let's talk about that more, because about being seen, that's another spiritual part of our journey. You're stepping out with this message, whatever it may be, with a higher purpose, and it does trigger some things that are here to be healed. But there are healers and transformational leaders on this call right now listening to our show who need this message, because they're hiding their light because they're afraid. But they're here to change lives, and we need them to step into the light. So we'll be back in a moment. I'm with Ellen Grace O'Brien, the author of The Jewel of Abundance. Swing by her website at ellengraceobrien.com and be sure to grab a copy. We'll be back in a moment.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Imagine living a life of awareness and flow instead of struggling with spiritual disconnect or chronic disease that can keep you from enjoying the fullness of life. It is possible, despite your current outside circumstances. Cindy Hively is an intuitive healing coach, goddess creatrix of InHerFullness.com, and sacred contributor to multiple best-selling books for women. Cindy mentors women around the world and supports them with awakening their inner wisdom and innate power so they can consciously create a luscious life filled with passion, radiant health, prosperity, and magic. Cindy's empowering blend of strategic thinking and intuition brings her clients an effective mix of spirituality and real-world practicality that supports women where they are on their journey, while holding space for the sacred possibilities that lie ahead. Learn more at inherfullness.com.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
You're listening to Inspired Conversations. Welcome back. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and what a yummy conversation we're having today. I am with Ellen Grace O'Brien, and we've been talking about prosperity and Dharma and yogic traditions. And I got to tell you, Ellen, a lot of what you're sharing here is just resonating on a deep soul level. And there's so many in my community. I have a large community of women on the path of personal and spiritual development. And the one thing I hear all the time, or I'm asked often, I'm sure you are, is, oh my God, you're so out there. I can't do that. And they're all transfer coaches. Some are psychotherapists, psychologists, and they have a powerful message. And I tell them, do you think I'm not afraid? But my dream and my vision and my commitment to my purpose is bigger than my fear. What would you say to that?
I would say amen.
Yeah, you get it. You've written a book. You're out there. I think they see us and think, I couldn't do it. They think, what do we have, some special power? No, we do it afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that I see as the turning point, which, you know, it sounds a little odd, but, you know, I wrote about this in the book, is that I discovered that a key to thriving and prospering and bringing forth our divine potential is actually becoming willing to do that. And, you know, I just tell kind of a little joke about that. Like, you just imagine, you know, someone knocking on your door, you know, and you open the door and the person says, you know, hello, you know, would you be willing to thrive and prosper and succeed in all ways? And, you know, we want to think that, you know, we would say, well, of course I do. But just like, you know, we're a little suspicious of someone knocking on our door with some kind of offer like that, we're also suspicious of our own soul call, aren't we? You know, in some way, what the question is, the question we have for the person at the door and the question we have for our own soul call is, well, I'm interested in that, but what is it going to cost me?
Oh, that's a good one. It's true, though. That is what comes up. And the other thing I think comes up, too, is who am I to think I can do this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So why do you think they look at what it could cost them instead of looking at what it could bring others and themselves?
I think that that's the fear that we've been talking about, you know, that there's some kind of root fears in there that, you know, I tried to explore, and the ones that I experienced, you know, for working with, you know, what we would call a divine call or a soul call, a spiritual intuition about, you know, what is yours to do, are yours to express. you know, there's the idea of, you know, well, what if what God wants for me is not really what I want? You know, what if I follow this path and it takes me to a path that is not one that I want? You know, that's kind of a scary thought, because you're going into the unknown and you have an idea that you're on a spiritual journey, but what if this higher power, spirit, God, however you think of it, is actually, you know, wants something for your life that you don't want, that you'd rather not have. And so there's a fear around that. It's a fear of letting go. It's a fear of surrender. But ultimately what I point out is it's a fundamental error, because that fundamental error is not understanding that God is our life. You know, we are expressions of that ultimate reality. So we're not separate from that. So there's not going to be, you know, what spirit wants and what I want. It's just the natural call of, you know, of our own becoming. So, you know, that's a fundamental error to undo. You know, so I think we have to explore this area of willingness, you know, and the other fear that comes up is, well, what if I try and I fail? Or what if I make mistakes? And you know, certainly that one's there, but if we're looking at this as our own spiritual journey of awakening and coming to know our full potential, then mistakes or quote unquote failures are not stopping points; they're growing points.
Ooh, I like that, growing points. It's a better way of looking at it. Just shifts the energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of people struggle and say, you know, if you're chasing material prosperity, it's, you know, going to take away from your spirituality. So would you say that material prosperity enhances and supports or distracts and destroys our spiritual lives?
I would say it depends.
You know, okay.
It really can do either. And that's what I love about these four universal goals of life, because they're like the four legs of a table, and they bring stability to our life. So, you know, wealth and prosperity pursued for its own sake, you know, at the diminishment of the other goals, to live with higher purpose, to enjoy life, and to know real spiritual freedom, you know, then our life is going to be out of balance. We're going to suffer. We're going to bring suffering to others. So that's why these four goals are so helpful, because it has us put prosperity and wealth in its proper perspective, which is to serve a higher purpose and also to support us to have a life of heart and meaning, a life that's enjoyable, and to point us in the direction of freedom and not bondage.
It's a big difference. Just energetically, you can feel the difference. So basically, it's if you're chasing the money, the abundance, you're chasing the wrong, I don't like that word, but you're chasing it in the wrong energy, where if you're focused on love and service, it's almost like you're pulling it towards you.
That is so correct. And, you know, I think we both know what that feels like.
No.
When you get
tired, yeah.
You're running off in that direction. It's painful. And that's why I think there's the wisdom of the goal in there that you're supposed to enjoy life. And that is interesting, too. You know, and that helps us to keep our life in the right balance, you know, so we're not off chasing something as the source of our happiness. You know, it always points back to the soul. All four of them point back to the soul. And with this goal to enjoy life, it's pointing back to our inherent bliss. You know, we're inherently blissful beings. And if we get out of balance, we lose touch with that innate joy.
And I think that's what happens. Well, I'll speak for myself. There was a period 25 years ago that's what happened. I lost my connection to joy because I was still in that struggle with prosperity deservedness, and I was chasing it and trying to be successful. I had a retail store before this business for 11 years, and though it was successful in the world's view, I won Entrepreneur of the Year for my state. From the outside in, I was successful, but Ellen, I was dying inside. Mm-hmm. I was doing it for the wrong reasons, to give myself validation of worth. So the success that the outside world saw me getting really meant nothing to me because I felt empty inside, where now I feel joyful and fulfilled because it's tied to purpose. So I've lived both sides, that contrast, and I get what you mean.
Absolutely, and you just, you know, named it so succinctly, you know, that when we're out to try to prosper and, in a sense, prove ourselves, you know, for the wrong reason. The teachings of yoga just so wisely tell us that we have it backwards, and it's the most common error. It's actually a fundamental error, which has to do with losing touch with the truth of what we are. You know, we're already whole, we're already abundant, you know, at the core of our being. You know, we are spiritual beings. You know, we're unbounded spirit itself, and so all of that is within us. This wholeness is within us, and so if we forget about that or we don't know that, then we go out into the world and try to create that, but it's the wrong premise. Rather than knowing our own fullness, knowing our own wholeness, and then going out into the world and serving from that perspective instead of trying to get that. It's
a big difference, such a big difference. And we're going to take our last break and continue this inspiring conversation. And when we come back, you had mentioned that learning how to prosper is a path of transformation, right, in relation to spiritual awakening. And I want to dive into that when we come back. So I am with Ellen Grace O'Brien, the author of The Jewel of Abundance. We're going to jump over to a quick break. Stay with us, and we'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Are you ready to experience the unshakable love and unleashed passion you really want? Great news! Discover what thousands of people are doing to transform their relationships in ways they never thought possible. And your partner does not need to participate in the process to enjoy the results you want in your relationship. Relationship expert and Aspire magazine columnist Stacey Martino and her husband Paul are the founders of RelationshipDevelopment.org and Relationship U. They have successfully empowered thousands of clients with tools and strategies that really work to transform their relationship, any relationship. And your partner does not even need to participate for their proven system to work for you. Transforming your relationship is possible, and it begins with you. Take the first step and visit relationshipdevelopment.org today.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on Om Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and I'm with the delightful Ellen Grace O'Brien, author of The Jewel of Abundance. So right before the break, we were talking about spirituality, prosperity, and healing those wounds. And in Jewel of Abundance, you mentioned that learning how to prosper is a path of transformation in the context of the spiritual awakening. Can we talk more about that?
Oh, sure. I'd love to. And really, you know, we've been talking all about that in our whole conversation, which has been so enriching. And I love hearing about your story and seeing your witness, you know, of what is possible. You know, when we become willing to thrive and willing to serve and learn lessons about that along the way. So, you know, in my experience, that learning to prosper is a path of transformation because, you know, first, as we were just talking, you know, before the break, we have to learn who we really are. We have to learn about our own worthiness. We have to learn about our own innate fullness, our own wholeness, so that we go about doing what we are doing in the world, you know, in the right way. So we're not doing something to try to become spiritual. We're not doing it to try to become whole, to try and, you know, get, because that consciousness is just like consumer consciousness, right? Trying to get more and more and more. And we're never satisfied because we can never fill that perceived lack in that way. So the very first transformational thing we learn as we step into prospering as a path of transformation is we learn who we are in our innate wholeness, in our innate fullness, and we learn how to come from that rather than lack.
It's a big difference, right? It's everything that we've been talking about, but I've lived it and experienced it. Now, has your personal journey taken you through all, everything we've been discussing today too?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I'm still on that journey, you know, because life infinite. You know, I'm learning every day, and I'm grateful for that learning. And I love opening myself to new possibilities and new territory. You know, here I am having this conversation with you, and that's the way we learn and grow. So even though it's scary, I have learned to welcome, you know, stepping out into the unknown, taking that little shy, vulnerable self along with me, and, you know, letting that part of me know, you know, you're going to be okay, because at the core, you are already whole. You are a divine being, and you're on a learning, growing path here in the world.
So true, and I remind myself always that there is no there. Like, this journey is meant to continue until the day we leave this body, right? So I always say we're not meant to get, there's no end point in transformation. It's ongoing. It's forever as long as we're in this physical body. And that takes a lot of pressure off to know that it's okay. This is a new experience that I'm having. That is there to teach me the next level of letting, whatever the lesson is, right? Letting go, trusting, allowing. One of the words that come up for me that was a big part of my journey, and I'm curious in the last few moments if we can talk about it, it was surrender, right? And how does surrender and true prosperity in the work that you're doing in the world, is there a correlation?
I think they have to walk hand in hand for many reasons, and one that I'll just note is that as as visionary as I've tried to be with my life, as open as I've tried to be to higher potentials, what God, what Spirit has made possible in my life is so much greater than anything that I could ever dream up on my own. So, you know, rather than seeing surrender as, you know, giving up as many people do, I like to think of surrender as opening to infinite possibility, because it is. It's, you know, letting go of our sense of separate self is the way that we open to divine support. We open to infinite good, infinite possibility. And like I say, my experience has been that what life will bring us is always greater than what I've been able to imagine.
You know, hearing you say that, I would agree that everything I've done in my life, I didn't envision. I just got out of the way. And I couldn't have dreamed this, right? So I've always felt like it sounds like you have is, I'm going to let go and let the divine handle the details, because I believe we're like the container, like a spiritual energetic container. We have to create the space for the divine to work through us. If we're holding on so tightly to what we want, right, or what the head and ego want, then we're closing off the energy of the container, and nothing can flow. And I always envision it as I was healing, seeing the divine knocking at the door of my container, saying, hello, I have something even better than that, if you would just let me in. But, of course, the small self, the scared self, would hold on tight, going, no, I'll do it my way, thank you. Until you get kicked in the ass so many times, right, Ellen, that you go, well, maybe I will let the divine handle the details.
Yeah, it's a different, you know, sometimes I talk about how, you know, we approach life as if, you know, God were our subcontractor. You know, that we have all the plans in place and, you know, we're going to ask God for help. But I think there's another way, which is to be willing. And, you know, I mean, I think we need to have a plan. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a plan, and we need to have a good plan and to have it all laid out, but that has to be balanced with an openness and surrender and staying finely tuned, you know, to the ways in which, you know, opportunities are arising and even the ways in which doors are closing. You know, how many of us have tried to just kick down doors that we should have left closed?
Yeah. Try to force things, right? Instead of trusting and surrendering. So that, I'll say that's been a big lesson in my life too. And now it just feels more peaceful. Surrender is where I used to struggle with it and look at it as a negative in my 20s and 30s. It's a peaceful experience now because I've built my trust muscles. I know that when I surrender, I'm in great hands.
Oh, totally, and that's, you've just touched the crux of the philosophy of it. It is that we're letting go into higher support, greater support. We're letting go of the idea that, you know, we're out here on our own, which is the underlying thought, you know, that contributes to our suffering and making our life a burden. So I always tell people, you know, there's a back door into surrender, too. Surrender is kind of mysterious. People don't know how to do it. So I say, well, here's the thing. You know, if you find some way in which your life is a burden to you, you know, ask the question of what would it be like to let go of the burden?
Mm-hmm.
Let go of the idea of this sense of burden. And, you know, really when you do that, you're just surrendering right into this greater support.
Well, that's a powerful question, right? Because right there, it empowers. The question empowers their next step, their decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, I have loved this whole conversation. We could do a five-hour show on all of this. And I want to invite everyone. I want you to go to ellengraceobrien.com and learn more about everything that she's doing in the world, but also to grab a copy of her book, The Jewel of Abundance. this is a conversation. You're here today because this is a message that was waiting for you, my friend. It's time to, you know, shift any beliefs of struggle and take it from someone that I'm not just saying those words, I live those words, continue to live those words. So, Ellen, thank you, my beautiful friend, for being here with me today.
Thank you, Linda. It has been so delightful and so inspiring, and I thank all of your listeners for joining us. What a privilege.
Well, thank you. And I want to invite everyone to remember to join me every Tuesday at 2 p.m. on Om Times Radio for the Inspired Conversations radio show. Until next time, choose joy, choose love, choose happiness, my friends. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.